Good morning, everyone. Today's daf and Yevamos daf test. We left ourselves off yesterday in Chavos Amud Beis, which are the top of the Yama. We thank the Lubin Foundation for a sponsorship of the daf. We learned Lezech and Ishmael Salos of Zaltzman. We're in the middle of a discussion that really goes all the way back to daf Gimel Amud Beis. Today, actually, is the conclusion of that discussion. So we have spent over a week on this topic. It is in terms of Daf Yomi language, it's a lengthy discussion of the Gemara. To my memory, I don't know of another discussion that takes the totality of 7 blot, 8 blot, but this discussion does, but it's a big discussion, and that is why does the Torah go out of its way to tell us that the Yibum cannot override the Erva? We know that there's a mitzvah of Yibum, which always is going to have an Erva involved, and that's Eshetach, that's your brother's wife, who's one of the Arais in the Torah. And yet, if she, in addition to being Eshesach, is any other the Arais in the Torah, so then you cannot perform the mitzvah of Yibum because the Erva is going to trump the mitzvah of Yibum. How do we know that? So the Gemara on Dav Gimel Amud Beis quoted a lengthy Braisa. But the punchline of the Braisa is that it's a drasha. It's based on an extra word in a pasuk by the Arais, specifically by Achos Ishto, by your wife's sister, where the Torah uses the word Letzror. And from that extra word, I'm sorry, and the Torah over there uses the word Aleha. At this point in time, I should know which word we're talking about. And that Aleha connects us to the mitzvah of Yibum. And that gets us to the conclusion that based on the special drasha, so if there's any of the other arayos that are involved, so then the Isser will not override the mitzvah of Yibum. That's on Gimel Amud Beis. And then that engendered the discussion of the Gemara to go into Ese Dochalosa, say a positive commandment overriding a negative prohibition, and then the sub-discussion in that, which is Ese Dochalosa, say Sheish Bokarets. What is the general status of a positive commandment overriding a negative prohibition that does not have Karets? What's the default? So basically, within the last week of Gemara, there have been two lines of thought. One line of thought in the Gemara is, doesn't make a difference, meaning a positive commandment is always going to override a negative prohibition, regardless of the degree of negative prohibition, whether it's a quote-unquote standard negative prohibition or whether it's one sheyesh bo karets. That's been one line of thinking within the Gemara. Who do I attribute that line of thinking to? We can go back and look at Amoraim, but basically that was the predominant thought amongst the Gemara. There's one line of Gemara where the Gemara says it very clearly. On Zayin Amud Aleph, this is just a general recap. On Zayin Amud Aleph, you could find one line of the Gemara where it spells it out very clearly. In the middle of Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara says Mali Chomer Zuta, Mali Chomer Rabba. Right, that's the right in the middle of Zayin Amud Aleph. What difference does it make? What kind of negative prohibition there is? A positive commandment has more power and more strength. Now that line of reasoning is totally supported by the Gemara in Gimel Amud Beis. Because the Gemara in Gimel Amud Beis says, how do I know that if there's another Erva involved, so then the mitzvah of Yibum doesn't trump? So you could have just made a very simple argument. What do you mean? This is not a regular lav, this is Arayas. Arayas is a lav sheish bo kares. So what do you mean, how do I know? The answer is, because that's the rule. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, how do I know? Because of a drasha. Oh, so the fact that the Torah here has to go out of its way to say, we have a drasha in the world of Yibum, so that means that the general default position is that a mitzvah essay is going to override any lav, even a lav sheish bo kares. That's one line of thinking. And then yesterday, in the Gemara Daf Ches, so we saw another line of thinking that we can give attribution, and that we could label as Rava's line of thinking. Rava, an Amora, so he says, no. He says that we have the principle of mitzvah sase dochalo sase, a positive commandment is going over a negative prohibition, but, says Rava, that's only a standard negative commandment. However, if there is a lav sheish bo kares, so Rava says that the default position is that it's not going to override. A mitzvah sase, a positive commandment, will not override a lav sheish bo kares. Because we have tzitzis, shatnez, and everything we've been discussing up until now, at that point, he accepts that. But once it's a lav sheish bo kares, so then Rava says, no, that as a default position, the positive commandment is not going to override the negative prohibition. Okay? And then the question on the table is, Rava, if you are right, how did you understand Gimel Amud Beis? How did you understand the Braisa, where the Braisa goes through a lengthy exposition a drasha, the drasha for Rava is unnecessary. That was the question that was posed. Rava's response to that was, I do other things with the drasha. So basically what we're going to do now is we're going to see the other things that he does with the drasha. We started this discussion yesterday. I'm sorry. Let me quickly recap that, and then we'll continue in the Gemara. So, what does he do with the drasha on Daf Gimel Amud Beis? So, the Gemara basically said that for the erva herself, I don't need a drasha. The erva is a lav sheish bo karis. Of course, it won't override the mitzvah of yibum. Sorry. Of course, it will. Sorry. Now I have to keep everything straight. Of course, it will override the mitzvah of yibum. It's a lav sheish bo karis. What does the drasha teach me? Sarah, the co-wife. The co-wife is not as intuitive, and so therefore the drasha is there to teach me about the co-wife. Even that, the Gemara protests a little bit. The co-wife of an erva, doesn't she also gain status of an erva? And if so, aren't we back to lav sheish bo karis? And the Gemara asked that question yesterday, and the Gemara says, basically you're right, but the drasha could be used for tsara tsara sehem, the co-wife of the co-wife. Meaning, remember, if we have a co-wife marrying one of the other brothers, if there's another brother, and then that other brother had other wives as well, and that third brother dies, so not only is the original tsara sehem going to be putter from yibum, but the new tsara of the tsara is also going to be putter from the mitzvah of yibum as well, and that is going to be generated from the drashas. That, says Rava, is the entire purpose of the Brais on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Okay. The Gemara was supportive of Rava. The Gemara read the Mishnah like Rava as well. If you remember, the Mishnah says, Chamesh Yisrei Nashim, Pocho Sarav Seyem. 15 women excuse their co-wives. Right? And it was Ravashi who made this point. Ravashi says, think about it. What didn't even the Mishnah mention? The fact that the 15 women themselves are going to be excused. So Rav Ashi says, why? Because that's obvious. Why is it so obvious? Because the Mishnah is learning like Rava. The Mishnah is learning like Rava. Rava is an Amar. The Mishnah is a Mishnah. But the Mishnah is in the same line of thinking as Rava. Because as far as the 15 themselves, that's an Erva. That's a default. That's obvious. What the Chiddush is that the co-wife and the co-wife of the co-wife, that's a Chiddush, and that's what the Mishnah was focusing on. Okay. Adkan. A woman cannot have two husbands. Co-wife of a co-wife is talking about after the death of her husband, she then marries one of the other brothers, and the other brothers then has also other wives as well. But no. No. Okay. What we'll do is as follows. We'll start in Chesam and Aleph. I know we did this yesterday, but it's a flow. It's one long stream of thought. So we'll start with Mishnah on the bottom of Ches Amud Aleph. And again, now what we're doing is we're trying to understand all the drushas, the world according to Rava. How does the drusha on Gimel Amud Beis work according to Rava? So according to Rava, why is there no drusha for the erva herself? Again, because an erva is a lav sheish bo karis. So what about the co-wife? Co-wife herself is also a lav sheish bakaris. So the Gemara says, "Amalei Ravacha, Barbibi, Mar LeRavina, Hachi Kamar, Mishmei DeRava, Sarinami Lo Itzderich Kra." You're right. I don't need a drasha for Tzara as well. Ki Itzderich Kra LeMeute Tzara Shelo BeMakom Mitzvah. So the Gemara says, when do I really need a drasha? I need a for Tzara Shelo BeMakom Mitzvah. Meaning, let's say we have a scenario where your daughter, right, or let's say Reuven's daughter, instead of being married to Shimon, which is generally the construct that we deal with in our Masechta, but Reuven's daughter is married to another guy, just a guy. And this guy is married to other women as well. So this guy dies, or divorces. But let's say this guy dies. So now, let's think about this. Had that guy been Reuven's brother, had it been Shimon, so not only, of course, is Reuven not allowed to marry his daughter, not in the context of Yibum, that doesn't work, she's prohibited to him, but all the co-wives as well. Good. If I took that same scenario, and instead of it being Shimon, it being another guy, this is what's called Tzar Shalom B'Makom Mitzvah. It just simply means it's not his brother, it's just some other guy. So then, maybe the argument could have been, well, of course he can't marry his daughter, maybe he can't marry the co-wives as well. So you know what the drush is coming to teach me? That if it's shelo b'makom mitzvah, the daughter, of course, is prohibited to him, but all the other co-wives are permitted to him. That's what the drush is coming to teach me. Not to teach me whether or not an erva herself or the co-wife of an erva in a mitzvah situation are prohibited to him. That's obvious because she's an erva. If in a situation where it's mitzvah, I'm sorry, where it's sarah shelo b'makom mitzvah, that is a bit of a chiddush. My time, I'm a kra. Allah, right. Allah b'makom alehu dasiri, only in an alaha circumstance. Remember, that alaha is code for yibum, meaning that's what created the drush altogether. Because we have the word alaha both in the parsha of Arayos, and we have the alaha by yibum. So, b'makom alehu dasiri, shalom b'makom alaha sharye. But if it's not an alaha context, meaning it's not yibum, so then it'd be permitted. So the Gemara makes a suggestion now, which is going to be really difficult to even understand the Gemara's suggestion. And that is, okay, your argument is great. Why don't we take your argument to its extreme? And that is, why not suggest that not only is the co-wife of an erva, shelo b'makom mitzvah, going to be permitted, but why not suggest that the erva herself, shelo b'makom mitzvah, is going to be permitted? Okay, that's the extreme version of the argument. Now let's keep this argument limited to Achos Ishto, because that's the pasuk that we're darshaning. And what the Gemara now is suggesting is as follows. So let's say that we have, you're married to a woman, and her sister is married to another guy. And maybe when that other guy dies, so maybe, it goes without saying that the co-wives of your wife's sister is going to be permitted to you, but maybe your wife's sister is also going to be permitted to you as well. Using this argument of aleha. Because again, what's the idea? In an aleha context, that's where there's iser. If it's not an aleha context, well, there would be heter. Okay. We all know that this is a suggestion of the Gemara. It's a thought, but again, the idea is using the logical progression that we've been using, maybe this could be the conclusion. The Gemara immediately rejects it. I'm sorry, I'm rereading the question. And the Gemara says, and again, we're going to apply logic to arrive at this conclusion. So, look, in a makom mitzvah, meaning in a yibum construct, that's where it's going to be prohibited. But if it's a non-yibum construct, well, shouldn't it be permitted? That we use that same argument for the co-wife of an erva. So I'm late. So he says, no, can't be. And I'm going to prove it very easily that you're wrong based on just simply the idea of a co-wife. Because b'makom mitzvah, asir shelo b'makom mitzvah sharye. Look, in a makom mitzvah scenario, meaning in a yibum construct, the co-wife is prohibited. In a non-yibum construct, again, the idea is that the another man, not your brother, another man is married to your erva and another woman, so the tzara, the co-wife, is going to be permitted. What does that clearly indicate? Only the co-wife is permitted. But the erva itself obviously remains usher. So, in other words, it's very easy to diffuse your argument. So, amalei alach hamakra b'chayeha, kosha b'chayeha b'chayeha, I'm sorry, kosha b'chayeha. So he says to him, well, So Gemara says, okay, look, I'll also point out the following. When the Torah says that you're not allowed to marry two sisters, the Torah says bechayeha, meaning, as long as one sister is alive, the other sister is always going to be prohibited. Okay? And so it cannot possibly be that another man marries your sister, oh, your argument is shalom, it's shalom b'makom mitzvah, therefore she's permitted to you. No, she's not. As long as she's your wife's sister, she's going to be prohibited. So the Gemara says, "Hai bechayem ibayle lemuti la'achamisa." So the Gemara says, "Well, maybe not. Maybe the bechayeh is coming to tell me that that your wife's sister will be prohibited to you, but as long as your wife is alive. Once the wife dies, so then the sister becomes permitted. As I mentioned the other day, right? I've repeated this a couple of times before. The sister erva, the sister of your wife, that erva is the unique erva in that, generally speaking, the rule is once an erva, always an erva. meaning a woman's your daughter-in-law. So even if she's no longer your daughter-in-law, right? Death or divorce, whichever happened. So, but she always has the status of your daughter-in-law, and she always will be an erva to you. That's generally the rule, and that's true almost in every erva scenario, except for sister. Wife, sister, she is permitted to you upon the death of your wife. That's the heter of the erva of achos ishta. So the Gemara says, so that's what the Torah is coming to teach me. So hahu mivi isha l'achos anafka? The Gemara says, well, no. I knew that point already based on the pasuk of isha l'achosa. You're not allowed to take a woman and her sister. But if one of them died, then the other one would be permitted. So imivi isha l'achosa hava min nizgar shasharya. The Gemara says, no, that pasuk in of itself is insufficient. Because all the pasuk is telling me is I can't marry two sisters. What if I marry one sister, I divorce her, then can I then marry the other sister? If all I had was Isha L'Chosa, the answer would have been yeah, but that's not correct. That's not true. So Tamalam Bechayaha, Kosha Bechaya, to Afagav Dinsgar Shalo. So the Gemara says that's why I need Bechaya to tell me no, that the only heter that one has to marry his wife's sister is only if his wife died. Otherwise, there's no heter to marry the wife's sister. She's an erva. Okay, so Elam Rav Huna Bar Tachlifa Mishmei Derava Trei Krei Ksiva. So again, what we're trying to analyze is the following: how do I know that, again, the Gemara made a suggestion at the top of the Amud that in a Yibam contract scenario where your wife's sister, again, two brothers married to a sister, your wife's sister was your brother's married to your wife's sister, meaning, again, two brothers married two sisters, and the brother dies, and she's forbidden to you, and the co-wives are forbidden to you, the Gemara made a suggestion, well, maybe if it was a non-Yibum scenario, so maybe then not only is the co-wife of the sister going to be permitted to you, but maybe the sister herself should also be permitted to you. That was the Gemara's suggestion earlier. And again, what we're trying to do is trying to diffuse that argument. We know the argument's not true, but what's the counter-argument to that? So the Gemara says, well, we could do it in the following manner. Trei krei ksiva. The Torah gives us two psukim. Ksiva isha l'achosat el'achosat. So it says that you're not allowed to take a woman and her sister. Uksiv legalos ervasa. And the other pasuk says to reveal her nakedness, meaning one of them are going to be prohibited. Dechada mashma. So the problem is as follows. The first half of the pasuk makes it sound like they're both going to be prohibited. And the second half of the pasuk says not that one of them are going to be prohibited. Haketzad, b'mako mitzvah. No, but I'm sorry. When I say both of them, I don't mean she and the sister, because you're married to she. It means the sister and the co-wife. So in one scenario, it sounds like from the Torah that the sister and the sister's co-wife are going to both be prohibited. And in another pasuk, it sounds like only one of them are going to be prohibited. Haketzad, so b'mako mitzvah shteim asur. So the Gemara says, good. But based on the halacha as we accept it, we totally understand both halves of the pasuk. The first half of the pasuk that makes it sound like both the sister of your wife and the co-wife are both going to be prohibited to you, that's b'mako mitzvah. That's in a yibum construct where your wife's sister, I'm sorry, right, your wife's sister is married to your brother. Again, two brothers married to a sister. The brother dies. So not only is your wife's sister going to be prohibited to you, but all the co-wives as well. Why? Because that's a Yibum construct. And Saras Erva is going to be an Erva. However, Shalom B'makom Mitzvah, but if it was a non-Yibum construct, so he has Saras Saras Muteres. So in that scenario where your wife's sister is married to not your brother, but just simply to another guy. So in that circumstance, when that other guy dies, so your wife's sister is prohibited to you because she's an erva, the co-wives are going to be permitted. Good. Now I understand the two halves of the pasuk, how it could be that in one scenario, both the erva and the co-wives are going to be prohibited. That's yibum. How can the erva be prohibited and the co-wives be permitted? That's in a non-yibum construct. Epochanam. Again, now the Gemara is just going to be argumentative for just a little bit longer. The Gemara says, well, maybe, why don't we just invert it? And that is, b'malka mitzvah, he has servant saras and muteris. Well, in a Yibum construct, so why don't we make the argument that she your wife's sister is going to be prohibited, but all the co-wives will be permissible. And then the Gemara argues that if it's a non-Yibum scenario, Shtei Masters, they're both going to be Asar. Maybe that's the way to resolve the two halves of the Pasuk. Imkein lo yomar aleha. So the Gemara says that if you're right about that, so then what? Then the Allah came to teach us what? Meaning the Allah obviously is there to provide a chiddush. What would be the chiddush in such a scenario? Meaning an erva is prohibited to you? Good. That we knew. The co-wife of an erva, so where else will we establish that from? Had the Torah not said Allah, I understand, but now the Torah says Allah, obviously it's there to provide a chiddush. Okay. Amalei Rav Ashi Rav Kahana, mimai dahai Allah li surah demalei hetera. Well, the Gemara says, well, again, the Gemara is just being a little argumentative right now, just in terms of getting every one of the false arguments out of the way. The Gemara says, well, why don't we suggest that the Allah HaDrasha is not to provide an isbur, rather to provide a heter v'achikamar, rachmana. Isha l'chasa lo sikach l'tzror, lo hiva lo tzarsa, shalo b'makam aleha. If it's not an Allah context, meaning it's not Yibum context, so maybe what the Torah is telling you is that, okay, you can't marry anybody, not the erva, not the co-wife. But in the Yibum construct, Shtei Mutarsim, both of them would be Mutter. Maybe that's what the Allah is coming to tell me. So the Gemara says, okay, but remember, in that same Pasuk, there's a scenario which the Torah describes as one of them being prohibited. If your conclusion is correct, you'll never arrive at that scenario where one of them is going to be prohibited and the other one being permissible. Iba Malka Mitzvah Shtei Mutaris. Because then if both of them are... Sorry, if it's a Yibum construct, so then they both would be mutter in this argument. And Ishlova Makom Mitzvah Shtei Masuros. And if they are both, and if it's not a Yibum construct, so then both would be Aser. And then we would not have a scenario where one is Aser and one is mutter. Let me just quickly summarize. Okay, that was one long sentence of the Gemara. Again, the Gemara is just simply picking out, according to Rava, how does all this work? Meaning Rava says that an essay is dochalosa se sheish bo kareis, never. Meaning under, that's the general rule. An essay is dochalosa se, greda, a simple negative prohibition, but if it's a essay against a losa se sheish bo kareis, so it never will overrule. And then the Gemara just simply, for the last half of an amud, wanted to know, and what do you do with the drasha? Why was there a drasha on Daf Gimel Amud Beis? And essentially the Gemara's answer is that in a Yibum construct, you're right, you don't need a drasha. The reason, the purpose of the drasha on Daf Gimel Amud Beis is to give us the other side of the story, which is, what if your erva married another man, a non-Yibum construct? What then becomes? What then becomes, says the Gemara, is that the erva herself is prohibited, because she's an erva, but all the co-wives of the erva would be permissible. And then the Gemara tried to manipulate the Pasuk so that maybe we could arrive at another conclusion, but the Gemara says that whatever other suggestion you make in terms of giving me the halacha in a non-Yibum construct, it just simply won't conform. Won't conform to what we know as a halacha, neither will conform to even just the Pasuk themselves. The Pasuk themselves won't fit into any other suggestion. Period, ad kan. That takes us to the end of almost the entire section, but up until this point in time. Okay, there was a brisa that we quoted in yesterday's daf. Today's daf is ches. I'm sorry. Today's daf is tes. Yesterday's daf was ches. We're still in yesterday's daf. But there was a brisa that we quoted in yesterday's daf. We saw it on the Amud Aleph, on Ches Amud Aleph, and that is Rebbe. Rebbe says, how do I know this halacha is to be so? Which halacha? The halacha of our Mishnah. That if your brother's wife is any other erva, so you can't marry her, you can't perform the mitzvah of Yibam. So, how do we know the answer? I mean, when I say we, I mean, how do the Mishnah know the answer? So if you go back to Daf Gimel Amud Beis, it's based on a drasha, based on a pasuk in Achrei Mos. Meaning by the pasuk regarding your wife's sister, where the Torah describes how you cannot take a woman in addition to, you can't take your wife's sister, Litzror. So from that pasuk, we learn out that if she's any other erva other than your brother's wife, so then you cannot perform the mitzvah of Yibum. In other words, the drasha from Achrei Mos. Rebbe was of the opinion, I don't need to turn to Achrimos. I could stay right in Parshas Kiseitse, right within the Parsha of Yibum, and I could learn it straight from the Parsha itself. Why? Because instead of saying the word V'lakach, it says V'lakcha, and instead of saying V'yabem, it says V'yibma. And what does that do? That's a miyut, that's a minimization. Anytime you have a hey attached to an end of a word, so it's coming to lamite, it's coming to minimize. And what did Rebbe see in that pasuk? That you can only do Yibum in a limited scenario. What's a limited scenario? Where she's your brother's wife. If she's any other erva, you can't do the mitzvah of Yibum. So Rebbe sees it all in the parsha of Yibum itself. And so what we'll be doing for most of today, from this point until basically the bottom of Sesamad Aleph, is we're going to do our standard maneuver in the Gemara of what's Rebbe going to do with those psukim and achrimos, and the Bryce on Gimel Amud Beis, what are they going to do with Rebbe's drushas? Okay, you have the general accounting of the Gemara of what does one do with the other's drusha. Okay, let's see it all inside. Rebbe, Omer v'lakach v'lakach v'yabim v'yimah l'asor tzaros v'arayas. A prohibition for the co-wives and arise. Remember yesterday, one interpretation of the brisa that we gave is Lasser Tsaros Shel Arias. Okay, but anyway. So Midi Tsaros Ksivin, Hacha. So the Gemara starts off with one really simple question. Look, if we're darshaning everything from the Parsha of Yibum, so where did it mention co-wives? Meaning in Gimel Amud Beis, when you had the Braisa from Achrimos, so there the Torah says the word Litzror. Fantastic. So I know we're talking about Kovas because the Torah says so. But if you're generating all these halachas from the Parsha of Yibum, what does it mention Kovas? All right, simple question number one. Torah's Melitzror and Afka. And the Kovas are learned out from the word Litzror. So another formulation of the same basic point. How do you know that we're talking about the co-wives over here? So, Litzrah Mapik Leg, Rebbe Lichad Rebbe, so I'm sorry, Litzrah Mapik Leg, Rebbe Lichad Rebbe Shimon. So the Gemara says, look, as far as the word Litzrah is concerned, so Rebbe already has that drasha used up. Used up for what? To teach us the halacha of Rebbe Shimon. What's the halacha of Rebbe Shimon? Okay, here we go. We're going to hear this case again and again later in the Masechta. So I'll mention the case very quickly once now, and then we'll hear it later on as well. And this is a construct case which we're just going to become familiar with. Three brothers, two sisters. Okay? Three brothers, two sisters. There's going to be, today we're going to get to two different cases. We're going to talk today about three brothers, two sisters, and we're going to talk today, later at the end of today, four brothers, two sisters. But right now, we're going to deal with three brothers, two sisters, Reuben, Shimon, Levi. And Reuben and Shimon are married to two sisters, okay, Rachel and Leah. And Reuben and Shimon die. Okay, so what happens now? So Rachel and Leah present themselves as Yavamas to Levi, the one surviving brother. Okay, so Levi now has a mitzvah opportunity, not one Yibum mitzvah opportunity, but two Yibum mitzvah opportunities. Here's the problem, it's a very simple problem. That they are sisters, okay? And because they are sisters, so now, look, I know I can marry both. They're both sisters. I get it. But let me do Yibum to one of them. So Rabbi Shimon says, no. You can't do Yibum to either one of them. Okay? And why not? They're very simple. Because they're sisters. And it's that Pasuk in Achrimos that teaches Rabbi Shimon that Levi, the one surviving brother, I know it's a very unusual circumstance. Right, we're darshaning from the Torah to arrive at this one scenario, which is highly unlikely, but if it were to happen, Levi would have an exemption. Why? So Rabbi Shimon says, because the drasha is there to teach us that. What's the count? If you don't hold like Rabbi Shimon, what is Levi supposed to do? The answer is, we'll get to it later on, you have to do chalitza to both of the wives. But Rabbi Shimon doesn't even require chalitza. Okay? Doesn't matter. Sequence doesn't matter. And again, right now we're just mentioning it just so that we understand why doesn't Rebbe have the darshan the pasuk and achrimos? Answer is, he taken, spoken for already. So the Gemara says, Sorry. Litzorah mapik le Rebbe lechad Rebbe Shimon and Sara hachaksi. I'm sorry. Tzara hachaksiv hachikamar im kein lemakrav alakach. Now, as far as the first question, where does it say co-wife over here in the parsha of Yibum? So the Gemara says, well, let's read the pasuk carefully. It says, instead of saying v'lakach, it says v'lakcha. My v'lakcha, kol hechadika treilekuchin, di by nasiv hai, vi by nasiv hai, sharya. Gemara says as follows. Do you know when there's a Yibum scenario? When, if there was an option of marrying one of two wives, again, the mitzvah of Yibum only requires that you marry one of the wives. The only time that there's a mitzvah of Yibum is when I could do either. Where I, the brother could marry either one of them. However, ilo tarvayosurim, if one of them is precluded, that means they're both going to be precluded. That's what we learn out from the word v'lakcha. V'lakcha means I'm going to marry one, but either one of them at least potentially could end up becoming the one. V'yibma. So in other words, it's cryptic, but if you read the pasuk that way, that's how you could see the co-wives in the parsha of Yibum. And then what do we learn from V'yibma? B'makom Yibum hu dasir tzara shlo b'makom Yibum shari tzara. And V'yibma tells me that all this is true only in a Yibum construct. If it's a non-Yibum construct, again, where Reuven's daughter is married not to Shimon, but just to another guy, and he's married to other wives, so obviously the daughter would be also to Reuven, to his daughter, but all the co-wives would be permissible. V'rabanan, and here we go now, and we're just going to go back and forth. V'rabanan, ha'v'lacham ha'abdile, what do the chachamim do with the word v'lacha? So mi'bayle l'chadar Rav Yossi Bar Bechinen, and Rav Yossi Bar Bechinen, v'lacham l'amei she'megarsha beget u'machzira. You know what v'lacha is coming to teach me? That when Reuven does a mitzvah of Yibum, or for that matter, anyone does a mitzvah of Yibum, you know what that's called? Marriage. It's called marriage. And if he wants to, if after having performed the mitzvah of Yibum, let's say the marriage is not working out, how does he excuse her? Get. Okay. And furthermore, let's say after giving her a get, he says, you know what, let's try this again. And this is talking, obviously, in a scenario where she didn't marry anyone else. So how does he remarry her? Marriage. Okay. And all this is a profound point. It absolutely is. Because you could have made the argument that what are we talking about over here? We're talking about your sister-in-law. This was your brother's wife. Now, in a Yibum scenario, the Torah allows you to do so. But maybe, again, what you could have thought is, maybe there's no option of getting rid of her. Or maybe, yes there is, and it's called chalitza, it's not called get. And maybe, once you divorce her, you can't remarry her again, there's no longer a mitzvah. She's eshesach. So the Torah has to go out of its way to point out that once the yavam, once the brother-in-law marries his sister-in-law, so at that point in time, it is a bona fide marriage which operates under all the rules of marriage, where divorce is a means of separation, and if he wants to, he can marry her again. V'yibma al-karcha. And what do we do with the pasuk of v'yibma? V'yibma means al-karcha, meaning that in this regard, it is not like marriage. Marriage needs two willing participants with the ratzon of both of them. Both the husband and wife have to agree to a marriage. In the world of Yibum, she doesn't have to agree. Okay. Now, recently we saw in the Gemara that if the man is a mukashchin, if the brother-in-law was a mukashchin, so then ain chosman. So then we don't muzzle her. In other words, we allow her to rebut and to demur. But okay, that's in the case of mukashchin. But generally speaking, how often does Yibum come up? But the default position of Yibum is this is a shidduch min hashamayim. It's got to happen.
In terms of Yibum, in terms of regular marriage, the wife can ask for a certain amount of money in case of divorce and being widowed. In terms of Yibum, is there such?
We'll talk later in the Masechta. We'll talk about the contractual obligation. We'll talk about the ksuva. That's coming up later in the Masechta. Okay, the Rebbe al-Karcha. The Rebbe, the Rav Yosef, Rav Chinam, Eli Yishan Afkam. So, and now, again, we're just going back and forth. Where does Rebbe agrees to these halachas, where does he get it from? So for Rebbe, the halacha of Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Chanina, the halacha of Gerushin with a get, and the ability to remarry her, that's from Isha, the Torah's description of the Yavama becoming his wife. It's his wife. And Al-Karcha, and the halacha of Al-Karcha, mi Yavama Yavala. That's generated from the pasuk of Yavama Yavala Nafka. V'Rebbe, hi Allah, my Avilei. What does Rebbe do with the word Allah? Good. So now we're back to Rebbe. I know there's a lot of ping pong over here. You gotta follow in terms of which psukim are we using now for which Tana. So for Rebbe, now what do we do with the word Allah? Meaning that's the Acharei Mos. Because remember, according to Rebbe, all the halachas of Erva and Saras Erva are all generated from Yibum. So what does he do with the Acharei Mos psukim? Mi bai lelichet detanya in chayavim beizan al davashes don karvashik agasso chatas v'chein ha-mashiach. V'lo ba'avodas kochavim ela al davar shechayavim azdono kareis v'shigagaso chatas. We are now entering into the world of erroneous rulings. Erroneous rulings that were made by Beis Din. Beis Din issued a ruling. Okay? We're all humans and we're all entitled to make mistakes. It happens. So, and not only are mistakes made by you and me, mistakes are made on the highest level. Beis Din can make a mistake. And if Beis Din makes a mistake, the Torah says that the mistake was so great that the majority of the Jewish people followed the ruling of the erroneous ruling of the Beis Din. So then there's a special carbon that the Torah requires. All this is found in the fourth parak of Vayikra. So the Gemara now is understanding that according to Rebbe, what are we learning from the Aleha of Acharei Mos? We're learning about the level, the severity of the mistake that was made by Beis Din in terms of what kind of severity of mistake is issued by Beis Din so that they're required the special carbon as described in the fourth parak of Vayikra. Ein chayavim Beis Din al davashes dono karvashik agaso chatas. So, the Beis Din is only going to be chayav this carbon of Helam Tzibor only if the ruling they issued was on a matter where it would be Nisar Karis. And the Chena Mashiach, and the same thing is true with the Kohen Mashiach. That is the Kohen Gadol. Another term for the Kohen Gadol. He too has a special carbon that's described in the fourth parak of Vayikra. And there's a special carbon offered for a shogeg on Avodah Zarah. Ella al davar shechayev on azdona karis v'shigagas nochatas. V'tenanami, and this is the Mishnah as well, we're on the top of Tesamad Aleph. Kol mitzvah shebetor shechayev on azdona karis v'shigagas nochatas. Yachin mevi kisva, osiira. An individual who violates such an offense, b'shogeg. All right, shogeg doesn't mean, it was, shogeg means that he forgot the halacha. Or, nasi mevi seir. In a case of, an individual brings either a female goat or lamb. And Nasi, a leader of the Jewish community, maybe to Seir, he brings a male goat. Mashiach Ubeitim Mevian Par, the Kohen Gadol or the Sanhedrin will bring a bull. All this is outlined in the Torah, in the fourth parak of Vayikra. Uva Avodas Kochavim Yachid, Nasi Mashiach Mevian Seira. In the case of Avodah Zarah, where there was mistaken Avodah Zarah that was done by an individual, or by a ruler, or by the Kohen Gadol, so the carbon that's brought is the Se'ira. Tzibor, Mivian Parvis Se'ir. And the Tzibor in the community, if they do Avodah Zarah erroneously, so they bring two carbonas, which is a Parn Se'ir. Where does the Avodah Zarah, where are these psukim located? Not in the fourth parak of Vayikra, but rather they're located in the 15th parak of Bamidbar, otherwise known as Parsha Shlach. Parla Ola Si'ir Lachatas. Minani Mili in the Gemara says, and how do I know all this? Ditan Rabbanu Venoda Chatasha Chatu Aleha. Here we go. This is how we got into this discussion. Because the Torah says in the fourth parak of Vayikra that they find out about the chait, and what's the word that you see over there? Aleha. Rabbi Omer Nemar Kan Aleha Nemar Lahalan Aleha. It says Aleha regarding the Chatas. It says Aleha by an Acharei Mos regarding Achos Ishto. So Malahan Darish Chayavan has done a karis Vashigaraso Chatas. Afkan Darish Chayavan has done a karis Vashigaraso Chatas. I guess we can call this Xer Shava. The word Allah is located in both places, and we know by Achos Ishta that's a karis offense. So therefore, that creates a standard of when do you bring a carbon chatas. It has to be a karis offense. Sibra Mashiach Minalan, good. That connects me to an individual. How do I know that it's the same degree, the same level of offense when it comes to community and to a Kohen Gadol? So the Torah uses a phrase that connects the Kohen Gadol to the Tzibur. And Yachid Venasi Asya Mitzvos Mitzvos. And in terms of an individual, in terms of a ruler, so we have other connections, other Gzeir Shavas known as Mitzvos Mitzvos. Meaning the word Mitzvos is found in both locations. And again, we're just going to continue in this drasha of how do I know that the level of Avodah Zarah has to be the kind in which your Chayv Kares in order to require the carbon, the special carbon for Avodah Zarah. Tzibur b'Avodas Kochavim Yalav Me'enei Me'enei. So the Tzibur of the, for Avodah Zarah of the community, a drasha of Enei Enei. Yachinasi Mashiach may the im nefesh achas. We have the vav connecting the tzibur to the yachid. Echad yachid ve'echanasi ve'echad Mashiach b'mashma. Vav mosif al inyan rishon ve'yalame tachton min ha'elyon. And so therefore that vav is the connector connecting the lower half to the upper half. Meaning if you look in Parsha Shlach, right, I'm open to it right now. Perek Tes Vav, 15th Perek of Parsha Shlach. It says, it gives us the it gives us the if the community were to be over to Avodah Zarah, so that is Psukim Chav Gimel Chav Daled, right? It already starts back in Pasuk Chav Beis. V'chisishku v'lo sasu is kol mitzvos ha'ela asher dibir Hashem al Moshe is kol asher tziva Hashem alechem v'yad Moshe min hayom asher tziva Hashem v'al al dorosechem v'haya im me'enei ha'eda nesesal l'shkaga. That's talking about when the community is over to Avodah Zarah. I know there's no clear reference in the Pesukim that's talking about Avodah Zarah, but the Gemara elsewhere, and probably in Horios, says, Kol Mitzvos Ha'ela. Kol Mitzvos Ha'ela is a reference to Avodah Zarah. So you take a look at Rashi right here. Rashi says it. And then, the individual, that's Pasuk Chav Zayin. V'im Nefesh Achas. You see the Vav? The Vav is a connector. So whatever is true regarding the tzibur is true for the individual as well. Okay, so, question answer. Question, what does Rebbe do with the Aleha and Achrei Mos because he doesn't need it for the world of Yibum? Answer, it uses it as a Gzeirah Shavah to tell us that the threshold of offense that would require a karban chatas would have to be a kares offense. How do I know that? The Aleha connects Perek Dalet of Vayikra to the Arayas. Virabanan, bouncing back now to the Chachamim, Haisvar min Alahu. Now for the Chachamim, where is all this generated from? Because remember, according to the Chachamim, the Alaha is already used up for Yibum. So where do the Chachamim generate these Alachas from? Where do they learn it from? So Nafkalum in the Makre Le Rav Yeshua Lebrei, Tarachas Yelachem Laose Bishkaga. So the go to Parsha Shlach, and you'll see that the Torah uses over there the phrase of Torah Achas, uniformity. V'anefesh asher tasa b'yad Ramah, hukshu kol haTorah kula la'avodas kochavim. Ma'avodas kochavim, davar shechayavim azdon hakaris v'asher geras ochatas, av kol davar shechayavim azdon hakaris v'asher geras ochatas. So we learn it out from the Torah Achas, which means that there is a standard. What's the standard? Well, by Avodah Zarah, that's a kares penalty. So too, I will only be chayv a karban chatas if it reaches the level of a karis penalty. Ashkechan yachid v'nasi u'mashiach ben b'avodas kochavim v'mishar mitzvos. Good. So that tells me about the individuals who sin. Tzibur b'avodas kochavim minayan. How do I know about the community? I'm a krav v'im nefesh v'yilamid al yom mitachton. So again, that connecting vav of pasuk chav zayin v'im nefesh. It connects the lower parsha with the upper parsha. The upper parsha was talking about the tzibur. The lower parsha was talking about the individual. And so here we're going in the other direction. We're going from lower back to upper. Alef tzibur b'shar mitzvos minalan. How about halam davar shel tzibur? How about if Beis Din comes out with an erroneous ruling that is not avodah zarah related? Yelav me'ene me'ene. So there we have the drasha of me'ene ene. Okay, bouncing back to Rebbe. The Rebbe, hi Torachas, my Avidlei. For Rebbe, what do you do with Torachas? Because remember, according to Rebbe, it's unnecessary. Rebbe has generated all these halachas from the connection of Allah. So what does he do with Torachas? Mibale lechadetanya. Rebbe has a different halacha that he learns from it. Lefisha matzina shechalek hakasa ben yechidim lemerubim. Yechidim eskila lefichach mamonam palat. Merubim besayif lefichach mamonam avad. Look, we know there's a difference between individual avodah zarah and communal avodah zarah. When an individual does avodah zarah, so what's his punishment? Skila. And what happens to his money? Money's fine. Money stays in the family. Okay, the kids will inherit the money. There's no. What if the community is ovid avodah zarah? Okay, we have a term for that. What's that called? Ira nidachas. So in an ira nidachas scenario where I have a community being ovid avodah zarah, what happens? So interesting. Two things happen. Number one, they're all executed. When I say all the ovdi avodah zarah are executed through what means? Saif, the sword. And in terms of their money, the Torah describes, put into the center of the city, burnt. Interesting, the Bryce over here says those two points are connected. Meaning, because they're executed with saif, therefore their money's collected into the center of the city. That's very interesting. I heard such a fantastic chiddush. Ask me later. I don't have the time now to give you a full treatment of it. But in terms of why the Braisa makes the connection. Because truth of the matter is, without the Braisa, I knew all this already. The Torah says it. The Braisa says, because they get a lesser capital punishment. Well, lesser. Meaning, death is death. But if you know Sanhedrin, you know that Skila and Srefa are the two top. And Herik and Chenek are the two lower ones. They're, so to say, easier deaths, if we can have that kind of conversation, which we can. The Gemara and Sanhedrin does. So because they get downgraded in their death, so therefore their money is going to be collected. Yachol nachlo. So Gemara, good. So we know that there's a difference between communal avodah zarah and individual avodah zarah. So that's what we know. Those are known entities. So the hava mina would have been yachol nachlo b'karbon aseihem. I might have thought the same thing is true regarding the carbon as well. That's what Rebbe darshens with the words Tarachas to tell me that we do not differentiate when it comes to Shogeg. When it comes to Shogeg, it's uniformity. My Lysu. And then the Gemara just gets technical over here. You know, you might have thought differentiation. Tarachas tells me that there's no differentiation. What exactly would have been the differentiation? So the Gemara says, Leisupar, Sibor. I'm sorry, Leisupar. So the Gemara says, okay, so what did you think was going to happen? Bring a bull? The Gemara says, that's not differentiation. Sibor b'shar mitzvah su demaisi. So no, we have a community bringing a bull. Kisva, well, why not a female sheep? Yachid b'shar mitzvah su demaisi. Well, that's brought by an individual. So Seir, what about a male goat? Nasi b'shar mitzvah su demaisi. So that would have been brought by a leader, by a ruler. Parla ola v'sir l'chatas. Well, why not bring a bull for an ola and a seer z'chatas? Tzibra b'avodah kochavim u'demaisi. Well, that's brought by a community of avodah for avodah zarah. Ve'alamai si'ira yachinami hainu karbano. Well, in a female goat, then yachid also would have brought that. So in other words, in your hava, Mina, where you suggested, well, let's differentiate. We have all the different animals covered for all different types of show gigs. So where exactly would have been the point of differentiation? It's Derech the Gemara says, no. I'll tell you what it was. Sagadach amina ho v'tzibar bara maisi parla ola v'tzir lechatas. I might have thought that, well, maybe, look, in a communal scenario, the bull is brought as an ola and the seer is a chatas, inonami nesu ibcha. Maybe, again, this is all just explaining what the Hava Mina would have been. Maybe the Hava Mina would have been for Avodah Zarah. Let's do the opposite. Let's bring the bull as a chatas and the seira as a chat. I'm sorry, the part is a chatas and the seira as an ola. And inami tzarech ve'en lo tekana. So the Gemara says, or maybe the Hava Mina was that, look, he has to bring a carbon and has to be a differentiated carbon. There's nothing to differentiate it with it, so maybe You need to bring a carbon, and you're just simply not going to be able to bring it. That's the Havamina. Kamash Malan. The Gemara says Chiddush. Chiddush is no. You don't have to bring a. You don't have to bring any other type of. I'm sorry. You Torah Achas tells me that's uniform. That's all the same carbon. Okay, that's it. Meaning, I know that's not the end of today's daf, but we're almost come to an end. And just as a heads up, I'm skipping a Rashi tomorrow, and you'll understand why. So there's not much of today's daf which is left. Okay, anyway, but I say that's it, though. I mean, that's really the end of the sugya. Tess, I'm an Aleph. The point we just got to really concludes our sugya of why in a Yibam scenario, where she is another erva other than Eishes Ach, there's a prohibition for the Yavam to do the mitzvah of Yibam. How do I know that? So to answer the question really simply, there are two paths you can go down. One is the Brice on Gimel Amud Beis, which tells us that it's a drasha connected to the Alaha that's mentioned in Achremos, that tells us that any other erva would be prohibited, or it's Rebbe's drasha found in the parsha of Yibam, of V'lakcha V'yibma, that tells us that if there's another erva, she's prohibited, and not only is she going to be prohibited, but the co-wife of the erva is also going to be prohibited as well. Those are two paths you can go down, and then everything else was details, important details, obviously, but that's generally the two approaches that the Gemara has given. Tomorrow, when we resume, we're going to continue with a new discussion. New discussion meaning not Esei Dochalosa, say not Esei Dochalosa, say Sheish Bakaris.